This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day.
Please be seated. If you're our guest today, we'd like to invite you to just tear off this little flyer, part of our heart publication, fill it out, place it in the offering plate. And today we're honoring Flag Day. As you know, our country is this year 250 years old. Can I hear an amen? And really the longest standing free constitutional republic in the history of the world, by far. In fact, in our time frame, 250 years, France has had 35 different forms of government over the last 250 years. So just to give you a contrast of what God's accomplished, and we're fighting for our lives to keep it. Can I hear an amen? And unfortunately, there's an encroachment of communism, Islam, and other things in our country that are really gaining footholds. And we need to take a stand, stand for the Lord Jesus, for our country, and those types of things. Today in our life group, one of our life group members blessed my heart, Golden, and brought meat and peach fried pies. Can I hear an amen? In fact, Nick's right back there. He's a great cook. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Nick. And we had a great time. We studied the word munched on pies, so that it doesn't get any better than that. And I want to encourage you to take part in our life groups and check one out. There's several options for you. And we'd love for you to study the word with us in a smaller group. Next Saturday, we're celebrating as part of next weekend coming up, Father's Day. And we've got our men's Father's Day luncheon in the fellowship hall in the air conditioning. And so I want to encourage you to come, and we're going to bring in some barbecue from the area. And then we're also going to be rolling some sausages out there on a grill as well. And we'd like you to sign up for it. Bring a friend, bring a guy. We're going to have a fishing clinic as part of it. And you can say, well, I don't fish. Well, maybe your grandkids do. Maybe you'll have an opportunity to teach them something. So I want to encourage you to take part in that as well. Sign up sheet in the lobby, and want to encourage you to sign up. See David Blackwell in the lobby and sign up with him. At our sign-up sheet there, it's $10 each to cover our food, and want to encourage you to come, bring friends, and be a part of that next Saturday, and then also celebrate Father's Day next Sunday. And how many of you guys want a tie? I don't hear a word. How many of you want socks? No socks. Mr. Flip-Flop back here, he's like Jesus. So I think fathers want what? Knives and guns and screwdrivers and pliers If you want to bless your father in your house, get him a pair of Klein side cutters or vice grips, you know, and those types of things. So think about something that they could use around the house, ladies. If you want to get some things done, get them a nice drill, something, and bless them as Father's Day is coming up. A few other things in here. Fellowship dinner for our widows and widowers. That's going to be Southern Pig and Cattle next Friday. And so I want to encourage you to take part in that. And then our summer soul winning at 6. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock, we're going to be meeting over in the office area. And love for you to come. We'll pair you with experienced visitors, witnesses. And we're going to go out and visit some prospects from our church and school. And want to encourage you to come and spend one evening, a part of an evening this summer on mission with other believers from our church, going out to share the gospel. And we'll have a glorious time doing that as well. Then we've got June the 28th, we've got our sweet Freedom Song musical, our patriotic 4th of July musical. And want to encourage you to invite you, take some extra of our publications with you and use it to invite some folks, some friends to come with you. Be in prayer also for our VBS coming up. And God bless you. Let's sing.
Father God, we just want to thank you for this day. And thank you for the freedom to be able to come to this place and worship you, Father. And we just want to pray that you'll bless these tithes and offerings, Father. And we also just want to pray that you'll just bless Brother Orman as he preaches your word, Father. And we just pray that as we leave this place, we will be better people, better Christians, and better witnesses for you. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
If you got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 17. As you know, we've been looking at this prayer of the Lord Jesus, his intercession for us. And what's exciting about the passage this morning is that he refers to us directly, and in this particular section of the chapter. So let's begin in verse 13 of Psalm chapter 17. And let me get my glasses. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou dost send, let me go back, 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou did send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. And there's us, all of us here today, all of us listening. So when we look at this, I'd like to share with you four different provisions that God has given us and refers to in this particular passage. So first of all, God's word gives us joy in verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in them. In Scripture, we see that the Lord Jesus desires for us to have joy. And joy is related to the Word of God. In our reference to Scripture, in our acknowledgement of Scripture, in our involvement in it. I found in my own personal life, being a believer for the last 52 years, that my joy is directly related to my response to Scripture, my interaction with Scripture. And we need to recognize that in our lives, there's a direct correspondence between the joy of the Lord and the Word of God, and the Word of God living in our lives as we relate to it. And so I want to encourage you, if you may say, hey, there's times my Christian life seems flat. There's times that I just don't seem to be joyful about it. Then I want to encourage you that you need to get in God's Word, and you need to take in God's Word. And that's why Jesus referred to it by saying, we don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, let's talk for just a moment about joy. What is joy? And we've drawn this contrast a number of times through the years, but when you think about joy, joy is not an emotion that comes and goes. Joy is intended to be an abiding emotion that God gives us, a deep, deep emotion that's in our life and based on our relationship with Christ and based upon our relationship with God's Word. And He wants to give us abiding joy. And so it's not based on our circumstances. And of course, it's easy to remember that it's not happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. Happiness is based on good circumstances. You got a raise at work. You got a good report from the doctor. You bought a new car or whatever. You just had a great meal after this service when I released you early to beat the Methodists to the restaurants. And so you go and you have a great meal. And you say, well, now, boy, I'm happy as a pig in slop. You know, I've had such a great meal. And happiness comes and goes. I mean, what if they burned your food? What if you sent it back and you're not sure if they spit in it or not? Sending back food is a risky deal, I want to tell you. But we look at happiness and in our lives, and that's, of course, in our documents and constitutions, that's given to us as a right to pursue happiness. But, and so happiness is something you have to pursue. You have to work at it. You have to search for it. You have to line up the circumstances. You have to develop it in your life. And look for those things in your life that produce happiness. Joy is something that can be linked to God, linked to your relationship with Christ. Joy is something that He wants to provide for us. There are so many times reading for this message, I read dozens and dozens of verses that refer to joy. Now, fortunately for you, I'm not going to ask you to look them all up. But in this one, we see one of those verses again in our first verse. And now I've come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. God wants you and I to have joy. And joy can be one of our greatest witnessing tools. Through the years, well, let me ask you this. I'm just curious. How many of you have actually had someone ask you where your joy or peace or the good emotions of your life come from? How many of through the years have had someone ask, why are you so joyful? Why are you so happy? Raise your hands. Many, many. Hopefully the rest of you will after this. You'll prepare yourself. You'll go out in joy. You go to the restaurant, the waitress said, what are you so joyful about? And he says in this passage, we see also in Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I know for a fact from my own experience with the living God in the Holy Spirit, and then others that confirm it, that when you're in the presence of God, when you're in a prayer time, a devotion time, you're in the Word, you're alone, you're meditated. By the way, a lot of these billionaires are saying there's the one-hour principle that they contribute their success to. And the one-hour principle is that the first hour of the day when they wake up, they try to spend it in a contemplative state, reading and not scrolling on the internet, not looking up emails, not watching television, but actually meditating. And that actually, that's a very scriptural principle. To start the day, what better way to line up a 24-hour day than when you wake, even if you wake a little earlier, you spend that first hour with the Lord in the Word, in prayer, and you're lining up your day. Some of the greatest Christians, if you read their biographies, said that they would line themselves up that way, that hour of power, that first hour. And when you wake up, your mind is the most pliable. It's the most open that it's going to be all day. So how important is it to focus it that way? And whether you're an avid reader or not, I would like for every one of us to be avidly reading the Word of God. Even if that's the only thing you read in your life, that you read the Word of God. Because you do want this, as Psalm 16:11 says, joy, fullness of joy in the presence of God, and at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. I'd like you, all of you, to pray with me that sometime during this summer that we have one Sunday when we show up and that we sense, let's start with one Sunday, that we so sense the presence of God that all of us are overcome with the joy of the presence of the Lord. Now, some of you look tired. I know I'm tired today. And we don't want to see scowling faces, no napping during the service. You know, take your nap when you get home, go eat the big, wonderful lunch, and then go crash, go hibernate. But for us to walk in here and sense, now, we do sense the presence. I sense Him many times when we're singing the worship, singing the hymns, singing with the choir, the praise team, our leaders, Rick and John. And, you know, there's many, many times I sense the presence of the Lord. I wish I could say, and you know, it's a personal thing, and I wish I could say I always sense Him all the time, everywhere. But if I was to ask for a show of hands, how many of you always sense Him always, everywhere? I do believe if you raised your hand, you would be a liar. But when you sense the abiding presence of Christ, there is great joy in it. And He says, pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. So that means when we get to heaven, the joy of it's not going to be us laying on clouds with little fat cherub angels playing harps and singing songs. It's going to be the overwhelming rivers of living water and joy pouring out of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. the Trinity pouring out as they are doing in heaven right now while we're here on earth. But he says that you and I can partake of that, that you and I can experience that. And I want you to pray with me and let, you know, God will do what God will do, but let's ask him to choose a Sunday and pour himself out on us. Pray with me and just that way, and let's see what God does. Let's see what happens that we can look forward to it this summer. And don't miss that day. That's not the day to sleep in. So we see here that God's word gives us joy. Secondly, God's word protects us from the evil one. Look in verses 14 and 15. I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Periodically in my ministry life, I've had individuals, you know, occasionally from the, and fortunately it hadn't been a lot of it in the last few years, more so years ago, but they would just go feral on me. I'd get this anonymous letter and, you know, just critical. And I got a text recently from someone that I thought was really going to be a great friend of our ministry, and I loved on them, and I hugged them, and all of this. And then I got this text from them that was just horrible. And I said, you know, this doesn't line up with the experience. You bless people, and then they curse you. Have any of you ever experienced that? Can I hear an amen? Or an oh me, oh me. And so we see that the world will hate us, and that's just part of the game. One of the things I've learned from President Trump is you can have the old world trying to crash down on you, and you can rise right up through it. There has been no man that's been prosecuted more with persecution and litigation than him trying to keep him out of the Oval Office. And yet, I've heard strong men on television say, if I was him, I'd be sitting in a corner in the fetal position, sucking my thumb. But just because the world hates you, that actually is a good thing. If the world hates you, it hated our Lord, and are we better than our Lord? If the world hates you, it means you're a convicting force. I'm sure Billy Graham got horrible, horrible correspondence through the years and threats. I know he did. And Jerry Falwell, I mean, he, one time we were having chapel when Kim and I were at Liberty, and we were having chapel in a tent. And Jerry came and spoke to us, and he wasn't even the speaker that day. And he got out, he came into the tent, and he said, students, I want you to pray for me. And he started crying. And he said, security told me there's a man that pulled up in a Bronco to the main gate, and they saw a rifle, a scoped rifle, in the back seat of his car. And he asked him which way I drive around Liberty Mountain. He said, just pray for me. He said, I believe that I'm immortal until God's through with me, but it's really getting to me today. Well, how many of you would it get to you if someone was looking for you with a sniper rifle? And here we see the Lord Jesus praying for us, and he's saying, the world will hate you. And Jerry used to say at Liberty and in Lynchburg when we were out witnessing and sharing Christ that it was pucker up or duck. Pucker up or duck. They either loved us or hated us. And we see that in Scripture that he talks about and he says, I will protect you from the evil one. I will keep them from the evil one. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that he won't get some access to us. We know the story of Peter. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Now, I'm going to pray that your faith doesn't fail. So I want to encourage y'all not to be afraid of this. One of my grandsons, their family's on mission, as you know, and he's been struggling with oppression. And I've told him, he's 10 years old, and I've told him, I said, son, embrace it. This means that you're really living for God. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. It's a part of it. It's a part of the game. It's a part of the war. It's a part of our occupation here on earth as God's children and the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a good soldier. Equip yourself. And I want to share that with you. There's several ways that we're protected, that God protects us. First of all, through the Holy Spirit. We see that he protects us in Romans 8:26. He tells us, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep to utter. The Holy Spirit of God is protecting us, that harm won't come to us. He's praying for us. And we need to recognize he protects us in our thought life. Everything you and I think is not of God. Everything that you and I think is not even emanating from ourselves. Jesus warned, the Spirit of God warned, the Scriptures, the New Testament warns that we're to take our thoughts captive in obedience to Christ. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When you're thinking critical things, negative things, destructive things, do you really think that's from God? You need to say, God, is this from you? Or is this from me or somewhere else? And we see here, through the Holy Spirit, he protects us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, finally, brethren, pray to us that the word of the God may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He will strengthen us. He will protect us. He will bless us. And he does. He does, and he does, and he does. Then we see also that we're protected through the armor of God. Now, I'm not going to go through all of it. It's several sermons. We've had series of messages on it in Ephesians 6, where we put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We put on our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take up the shield of faith. We take up the sword of the Spirit and God's armor. My father-in-law, before he went to be with the Lord, when he was younger and when he was really more kind of with it, he would pray the armor over himself every morning. He would literally pray and ask God to add those implements to his life to protect him. And he had the series of books written on spiritual weaponry and spiritual armor. We see next that we're also protected through guardian angels. In Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. It's interesting that Lucifer, who knows Scripture better than any theologian or pastor that's ever lived, in fact, second only to Jesus, Lucifer knows Scripture. And we see when he was tempting the Lord himself during his earthly life, during his humanity, that he quoted this passage to him, put him on the pinnacle of the temple, which was the corner of the Temple Mount, several hundred feet above the city. And he said, throw yourself off, and the angels will bear you up. And then he quoted this passage. And Jesus said, I'm not to tempt the Lord my God. And then Jesus quoted scripture back to him. We see that the Word of God says that God has given each of us guardian angels. You have a guardian angel. Now, if you're not doing anything for Christ, if you're not trying to stand for him, witness for him, serve him, you're basically just living a life at home in your domicile, then your angel is getting fat and lazy because he doesn't have anything to do. Why don't you take him out for some exercise? Why don't you take him out for a run? On one of our mission trips in India, going through the village of Babat, we were in danger and we could just sense it around us, but we sensed two things, guardian angels and the presence of God. I mean, I went into one alley. We were drumming up business for our two evangelistic meetings that were sandwiched in between a Hindu temple and a Muslim mosque. Now, that's quite a neighborhood. And we had a stage set up. And so during the day, we're going through the village, inviting people to come. I turned into one alley, and here's a Sikh man there with his bicycle turned over with an emery on the back wheel, pedaling the pedals, sharpening his sword. That could be intimidating. Hair wound up in a turban, sharpening his sword. And then we had some other Muslims stare us down, call us down as we were out in the village. But fortunately, in India, there was a plurality of government and all that, and there was a freedom there then that's not even there now. But you and I need to recognize God has his mighty angels with us. On one of my very first mission trips, I was in Mexico, and we were, where were we? I'll think of it in a minute. Belo Horizonte. No, that's Brazil. We were next Chihuahua. We were near Chihuahua, Mexico, and we were in this neighborhood that was communist, and they had red fists painted on the corners of the neighborhood on the houses. And we were in there knocking on doors, witnessing. And we had three guys come up on us with AK-47s and point them at us and threaten us. And I witnessed to them. And they let us go because they felt like we were sincere and it wasn't as rabid then as it is now. But also, too, our angels were there protecting us. And we could sense the peace of God. So he gives us guardian angels. And through a way of escape, he gives us a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. And, you know, we've used the cliche that God will open a door, and if not a door, he'll open a window and provide a way of escape. If you think over your life, there may be many times you were tempted to do something you shouldn't do, and you see that God intervenes. Someone calls you. Someone walks up to you. Some circumstance changes the situation. And we see that God delivers you. And so we see in this prayer, Jesus said, I'm praying, and here's how I'm praying. I'm praying for you to be protected from the evil one. And we see in Scripture, Romans 12:21, And then also he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Next, God's word sanctifies us. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou dost send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Sanctify. What is sanctify? What is sanctification? Sanctify is to set apart for a sacred purpose, to make holy, or to free from sin. This is the process in which God initiates setting us apart for himself. And sanctification, we see, is actually the process of God through our lives, working through us as he sets us apart to himself. Sanctification, in one sense, as a general functional term, it could be, I've taken this thing and I'm setting it apart to God alone. I shared this in our life group today, but when my mother was going to Bellevue in Memphis, Adrian Rogers, they were known for these great pageants, and they prepared these pageant banners, and they would parade in the banners and stand them around with the names of Christ and the names of God, and they were very ornate. And my mother was the CFO for my dad's electric company. And we were talking one time, and at that point I was kind of a baby Christian, but mother said, Daryl, I am so disappointed. Bellevue is wasting so much money on those banners. And I said, what do you mean, Mom? She said, well, some of those banners cost $1,000 with all the beads on them and the baubles and all that. And I said, well, back then that was $10,000 now. And I said, well, Mom, what is the purpose of those banners? She said, it's just one thing. They use them for the pageants and that aspect of worship at church. The banner bearers bring them in and they stand there with them. That's all they're good for. And I said, well, Mother, think about that for a minute. These people have invested in something that has only one purpose, to worship God, to glorify Christ, to glorify God. Is that really a waste of money? And she said, oh, Daryl, when you put it that way, you know, no, that's Mom. And I said, this is sanctification. They set apart that cloth, the materials, the baubles, the beads, the everything to make these ornate decorations for one purpose. And that's sanctify. And this is where you want to do this with your children. You want to do it with your house. Through the years, sometimes when some of our young families have bought a new house or moved in, they said, Pastor, would you come sanctify it? Would you come set it apart? Would you come pray over it? And so I've gone over to their house and we prayed that it would be a center for Christ, that it would be secure, a blessing, and that God would use it to glorify himself in that neighborhood. Sanctification. Are you being sanctified? Are you more set apart to God now than you were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Would you say, I am closer to Christ, I am living more fervently for Jesus than I did years ago? Would you say that? Can you say that? We are rapidly rushing toward the Lord Jesus. Now, you know, I've talked a lot about the prophecy and I've hit a lot of these things, but now is the time to be sanctified. I was watching a interview with Elon Musk, who Friday became the first trillionaire recorded in the history of the world. Actually, the first trillionaire was Solomon, if you look in Scripture and what he was worth. But here's the one that's, you know, got the numbers on a ledger. And so SpaceX went public Friday. They say 1,000 of his employees instantly became millionaires Friday. 400 of them became worth over $100 million each. One of them was an electrician who had just put everything he could into that stock. Well, anyway, they're interviewing Elon Musk. He's the only man on Earth that can put up a data center in 60 days. The rest of them, it takes 6 months to a year. And he's putting them up everywhere. He's going to be putting them in space. And they interviewed him, and they said about this IPO and the wealth it was going to generate. And they said, what about people in their retirements? And Elon said, they shouldn't worry about that. And they said, what do you mean? He said, we've got like 5 years. What do you mean by that? Elon, when are we going to come to convergence with AI and quantum computers? He said, we're in convergence now. So, beloved, I just want to tell you, if you want to be sanctified, if you want to live for Jesus, if you want to do something for eternity, you need to do it right now. Can I hear an amen? Right now. And in Scripture, we see here that he talks about us being set apart to God. Some of the synonyms for this are to consecrate, to bless, to purify, to purge. To jettison the things in your life that you know don't glorify Christ. To jettison thoughts and actions and habits and deeds and reactions. And to jettison those from your life, anything you do that you wouldn't want Jesus to see or do with you, you need to get rid of it. Purify yourself. Sanctify yourself. And Jesus is praying that for us. Sanctify them in the truth. That's what we're doing today. We're looking at the Word of God to set us apart to Christ. And then we see also, in verse 19, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. And so we need to do this together now. Number four, God's word saves us. Verse 20, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. And that's what we're in right now today. We're in their word. We're in the words of the Apostle John. And we're rehearsing, as we do every Sunday, we're rehearsing their words. And their words, people say, oh, I don't care about theology. I just care about Jesus. Well, you're foolish. Theology is the systemized teaching of the Word of God. Everything we know about God, everything we know about Jesus, we know through this word. And so he tells us God's word saves us. In Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's what you just heard right now. You heard how to have more faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Just hearing that can give you more faith, give you more trust. And then 1 Peter 1:8, 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. How many of you here today have seen Jesus with your physical eyes? I don't see any hands. I haven't. And yet, though you have not seen him, you love him. How many of you love him? Can I hear an amen? Amen. We love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. I love the combinations of these words, inexpressible and glorious joy, and pleasures forevermore. I love these descriptions that God is giving us for our dwelling in the Word of God, dwelling under the prayers of Jesus in our lives. And then he goes on and he says, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is not something to play around with, our salvation. This is not something to take for granted. This is something that you and I need to esteem, we need to pursue, we need to cherish, and we need to acknowledge is the salvation of our souls. And so I want to ask you today, are you willing to live in this prayer of the Lord Jesus? Are you willing to live in the joy that comes through his word and his presence? Immeasurable joy, glorious joy. Are you willing to allow the Lord Jesus to protect you from the evil one and all of his schemes? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, I just want to tell you I love you today. I thank you for our people. I ask you, dear God, if you would, just to breathe upon us. I ask you, Almighty God, if you would, to indwell us powerfully with the fullness of your Holy Spirit. I ask you, dear God, to open our blind eyes. I ask you, dear God, to fill us with great joy and encouragement and strength and power and supernatural agape love. And Father, I just pray that this summer would be the greatest summer that all of us have ever experienced in our life, serving and living for you. And Lord, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting, and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why Life Group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible. And how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning Life Group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult Life Group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this Life Group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our Life Group Bible studies. beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts, while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
You cannot win the spiritual battle with partial obedience. You cannot win the spiritual fight with a temporary obedience. You can only win with a total and unconditional obedience to God as He's revealed in the Word of God.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.
The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Bradley, Jr. pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.